So here in Isaiah chapter 30, we have this very interesting passage about the breath of the Lord. Here in Isaiah 30, beginning down in verse 27, the Bible says, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will they fight with it. For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared, he hath made it deep and large, the pile thereof is fire and much wood, the breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it." So that is my title, The Breath of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts, teach us, guide us, grow us, convict us, whatever's needed. We just pray Jesus will meet with us now in this service, and that He'll be glorified, and your word will be magnified, and the Holy Ghost will use it in each of our lives. We are committing this service to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we all have this basic understanding that God is a spirit, and that God teaches us things often from a human perspective so that we can relate to them. So we understand that when God talks about his breath, his voice, he's not necessarily talking about literal breath, because God doesn't have a literal body as we understand it. God is a spirit, as we're told in John 4. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But God does this to teach us in a way that we can understand. And as we see in this passage, God's breath, God's voice is powerful. And sometimes we just need to be reminded about how powerful our Creator is and how blessed we are to avoid the judgments of our God through salvation. And that is the first thing we see here in verses 27 and 28. The Bible says that His breath is consuming or devouring. Notice it says there at the end of verse 27, His tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream. As we saw there in verse 33 at the end, it says, the breath of the Lord like a stream of brimstone. And so God is a consuming fire. We're told that in Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. But we see here that his breath is a consuming thing when required. And many will face that at judgment. Many unsaved. And praise the God, we avoid that through Jesus. If you would, look at Psalm 46. And I'll just show you a couple verses about the consuming and devouring breath of the Lord here in Psalm 46:6. Notice Psalm 46:6. The Bible says, "The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted." Wow. Of course, we're told, 2 Peter, that God will burn up the earth and make a new heaven and a new earth. And he's going to do it with his voice. The power of God's spoken word, the power of his breath to actually devour it, actually burn up the entire earth. Just think about what kind of power that is. And how blessed we are to avoid the consuming fire of God's breath, which we'll see at judgment. And that's mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you'll turn there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, again, talking about the spirit of his mouth in this particular case. But we see that the breath of the Lord is a consuming, devouring fire and amazingly powerful. And we avoid that judgment through Jesus. Notice 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. It's talking about when Jesus returns to the earth at the end of the tribulation period to set up his kingdom, the Bible says he will consume that wicked one with the spirit of his mouth. That's power. And that's our God. And that is the consuming, devouring breath of the Lord that we get to avoid because of Jesus, that the unsaved will face one day. And so in looking at his breath or his voice tonight, there's five things in this passage we see. First of all, that it is consuming, it's devouring. Secondly, we see in verse 29 of our passage that it is a voice that calls out to others. Notice in verse 29, "Ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel." Notice, if you would, up in chapter 30 and verse 21, talking about the calling aspect of God's breath or God's voice. 30 verse 21 says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." Who's doing that talking? God. Isaiah said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." In Isaiah 6:8. The voice of the Lord, Isaiah, he said he heard. And then if you would look at Daniel chapter 9, again, we'll see that God's breath, God's voice is not only consuming and devouring, but it is a voice that cries out or calls out to his creation to come back to him. Daniel chapter 9, notice verse 10. The Bible says, "Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets." Daniel here is praying about the sins of Israel. And he says, "We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord." The voice of the Lord that calls out, that cries out to his creation to come home, to repent, to get right. And he put that voice in his prophets. He put that voice in John the Baptist, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And some listened and some didn't. But we see in this passage, God's voice, his breath, is not only consuming and devouring, but it calls out to his creation. And his creation is given a choice then, to respond or to not respond, to reject. And so, thirdly, we see this evening in verse 30, Isaiah 30:30, the Bible says, "And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones." We see here that his voice is glorious. You know what? We get to actually hear it one day in heaven. Imagine what that will be like. To actually be in the presence of the one that created the entire universe, the one that's going to burn up the earth with his voice, with his spoken word, the one that's going to destroy nations with the two-edged sword that cometh out of his mouth. We read that in Revelation. We actually are going to experience being in his presence and hearing that voice, that glorious voice, one day. Look, if you would, to Psalm 29, verse 4. David mentioned this powerful truth about the glorious voice of the Lord in Psalm 29 and verse 4. The Bible says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Majesty. What a beautiful word. God's voice is full of majesty. And then if you would, look at Revelation 1:15. This will explain why some people like to fish. Me and my best friend in Vermont, when we go fishing, we'd often joke about this. It's not really a joke, but you say, this is why we like to fish, because the Bible says here in Revelation 1:15, his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burn in the furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. That's God's voice. The sound of many waters. This glorious voice full of majesty. As we read here in Isaiah 30:30, God's voice is glorious. And one day, we will get to hear it for ourselves in our glorified bodies with our new ears. We also saw here in Isaiah 30:30 that his voice is a creating voice, or his breath is a creating breath. Because the Bible says here that the Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard and shall show the lighting down of his arm, and with the indignation of his anger, with the flame of devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. Of course, that immediately brings to mind Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and what? Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Where did that breath of life come from? From God. And so God's breath is a breath that creates and gives life, as well as can devour and destroy. And that breath created a soul, man, there in Genesis chapter 2. But it did more than that. Look in Psalm 33, verse 6. The Bible says that his voice also created the heavens. Psalm 33, verse 6. The Bible says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. There it is again. All the host of the heavens, as the Bible says, were made by the breath of God's mouth. And so his breath is a creating breath. A breath that gives life. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created man and gave us a soul with his breath. Isn't that something? And then look at John 20. An interesting verse. Jesus Christ here, meeting with the disciples after the resurrection in John chapter 20. And he made an interesting statement to the disciples. John 20, verse 22, talking about this creating power of God's breath. The Bible says, John 20, 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. And saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus Christ, they're basically again proving that he has to be God, with his breath gave them the Holy Ghost. Isn't that something? He breathed on them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so our Creator, our God, is a God whose breath is so powerful that it can burn up the entire earth. But at the same time, it created the earth. And with that same breath, he calls out to the lost. And that same breath in heaven is a glorious sound that one day we will be able to enjoy. But we see lastly here in Isaiah 30, verse 31, that his breath is powerful. Notice verse 31, for through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. Look, if you would, at Psalm 18. Just show you a couple of verses about the powerful breath of the Lord. Psalm 18, verse 13. The Bible says, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Look at all the power contained in the voice of the Lord. Now look in Psalm 29, if you would, and verse 3. Psalm 29, verse 3. This is probably the longest contiguous passage in the Bible about God's voice, God's breath. Notice Psalm 29, verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It created everything, and it will eventually destroy everything that we see. And it will be that consuming fire at that judgment, the white throne judgment, which, praise God, we get to avoid through Jesus Christ. But it's just a great reminder tonight, as we saw there at the end, it's like a stream of brimstone, how blessed we are to be allowed to not only avoid the judgment of God's breath, but to one day actually be in the presence of Almighty God and hear His voice like the sound of many waters, as we saw there in Revelation 1:15. Imagine. I don't think we can, right? The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." I don't think, no matter how hard we try, we can imagine how wonderful it will be to hear that majesty, to hear that glory in heaven with our own ears. But one day we will be allowed to, all because the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, the disciples got a small glimpse of it a couple of times, didn't they? When Jesus was baptized, the Bible says they heard something from heaven. "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." But the Bible says it sounded to them like thunder. Small glimpse when Saul got saved on the Damascus Road. This powerful thundering noise. It was to some, but others actually heard speaking coming down from the sky. That was the breath of the Lord. But not many glimpses in the Bible. Just a couple. And of course, when he spoke to Moses, the people didn't hear his voice, but they saw the earthquakes. That's the power of the breath of the Lord. Doesn't that make you thankful to be saved? When you think about that, when Moses came down off the mountain, the people said, "We don't want to talk to God. You talk to God for us. We're afraid of God." That's basically what they said. Especially when they saw his face and how it had shined. They said, "You talk to God on our behalf. We're afraid." We don't have to be afraid. Because of Jesus, we can go directly to the throne of Almighty God. And because of Jesus, one day, we'll actually be at the literal throne of Almighty God. It's just hard to even imagine such a wonderful thing, that we'll be able to be there and witness and hear the glory and the majesty of the breath of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are